This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina. I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I am your second Bad Ideas host.
And it's me, lucky number three, Zach Valenti, at your service.
And this is... I hesitate to call it a special episode of No Bad Ideas.
It's the new normal, baby.
A first. Yeah.
it's not going to be special for long because there's going to be more episodes like this. But yeah, guys, welcome to No Bad Ideas in the age of social distancing. This is the first time that we are recording an episode of No Bad Ideas without all three of us being in the same room, which is a little spooky. I miss being able to like look at you guys and feel your presence here while we record.
Feel our pain, feel our anguish.
Yes, that's mostly what I meant. That is the thing that I'm most missing right now.
No, it's weird, but I'm excited for us to try this experiment. We all have, instead of the wonderful, wonderful basement bunker studio at Shea Valenti, have set up our own jank systems to try and catch sound.
Emphasis on the jank. Jank is the order of the day.
It really, really is.
But jank gets it done.
That's right. So yeah, if you are a frequent listener of the show, you might notice that our voices sound a little bit different. That is going to be why. And you might also notice that the rhythms may just be like a little bit different. So bear with us as we figure out how to do this show, but we think it's going to be a lot of fun. We've missed recording this past week because we all kind of like went into our caves for our health and safety. And I sincerely hope that everyone is looking out for themselves and maintaining distance from people. But we're still going to have a good time and we're still going to make this show and make sure that we can keep coming at you even as things progress.
Yeah, we want to keep doing this crazy, silly thing and hopefully bring you some light and joy and distraction in this time of times. That's certainly why the three of us are talking to each other right now. Yep. And if this happens to be your first time on the No Bad Ideas merry-go-round, well, what we do here to provide the aforementioned distraction and silliness is that one of us goes and finds just a terrible idea, a no-good, rotten, very bad idea that someone has had on the internet somewhere at some point in time, and brings it to our colleagues. We gasp, we judge. We marvel in horror at sort of all of the ill-conceived decision-making processes available to human beings. And then we have just 5 minutes to try and turn that idea into at least the start or at least the pitch for a good story, a good book, a good movie, a good TV show, a good video game, a good knitting project. The actual medium is open, but we only have 5 minutes in which to do it. So we had better get started. I think, Gabrielle, you have the first idea?
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, do I ever.
I love that tone. It's very comforting.
Well, you know,
my disquiet is non-zero.
In this time of great uncertainty, right. It's nice to know that some things never change. Especially if you come from the great state of Florida.
Oh, boy.
So, from our friends at the Huffington Post comes a news story that reads, the headline is, Florida man arrested twice in 2 days.
I saw for this.
Impersonating police officer.
Oh, I man. Saw this. Yeah.
All right, let's get into
Florida
it.
Florida man.
A Florida man, perhaps the Florida man, is back in jail for impersonating a law enforcement officer just days after he was arrested for the exact same charge, sheriff's officials said.
Does Florida man not learn?
Nope.
No, learns nothing.
Clearly.
Leroy Stodelmeyer, 60, was arrested March 11th after investigators got a tip from a toll bridge attendant who showed them video of the man flashing a law enforcement badge twice on March 11th, this is my favorite thing, to avoid paying a $2 toll.
This is America, baby. The road should be free.
On-duty officers are allowed to cross free of charge, officials said. A toll booth attendant told investigators that Stodelmeyer flashed the silver badge at him, and he in turn showed the man an article about his arrest for impersonating an officer. He said Stodelmeyer put away the badge and paid the toll. Sheriff Rick Staley said Stodelmeyer was arrested March 9th on charges of impersonating an officer and shoplifting. On March 11th, he was charged with felony violation of pretrial release and impersonating an officer.
Being
held without bond. To answer your question from earlier, Zach, quote, this guy clearly has not learned his lesson and has no respect for the law, Sheriff Rick Staley said. 2 days after his release, and he is already up to his old tricks. We know already that he thinks he can get out of shoplifting and paying tolls with his fake badge. Jail records did not list a lawyer for Stodelmeyer, and that is the end of the article.
Wow.
This guy sounds like a real American dirtbag.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me start the timer and tell me a story about this serial police impersonator.
He has to, like, for this to be fiction, because, like, the real story, I think, is decidedly uninteresting. He's just a dirtbag, it sounds like. I think he has to genuinely believe he's a cop and he's on, like, a mission, right? Like, that's the only way that this works. Or right. He's actually a cop, but he's been set up so that his badge scans as fake because he's, like, trying to, uncover rot within the police department or something like that.
Right. It's either mm-hmm. that or it's the man de la Mancha. Like, this is, like, Don Quixote. Uh-huh.
Right. And he is in his 60s.
Right. Like, I think that that's, like, the only other direction you can go where it's, like, a charming madman that's just delusional and then somehow convinces us that it's, like, to do with something that's ultimately, like, good.
Yeah, I think that maybe the only other path of attack that comes to my mind is he is someone who is a petty criminal and his kind of signature crime is impersonating police officers.
Uh-huh.
And at a certain point, something happens where he needs to become a police officer. Like,
right.
He actually needs to go to, like, police academy and, like, earn a real badge.
I don't understand what it means.
That's right.
The last
on the force.
The last option, which we should not do, although it is an alt take. It could be an alt take on your last idea, Gabrielle. Is male stripper.
Ooh, wait, I like that.
Wait,
male stripper.
Tell me
gets
more.
So male stripper gets arrested for quote unquote impersonating police officer when he's just like, no, I'm just doing my job, being a hot cop.
Right. And then, maybe there's something where, like, some big crime happens and it's like all units report to, and somebody just grabs him and is like, come on, let's go. And he's like, no.
I love that so much. And, like, it has something to do. It ends up being this, like, giant conspiracy of sort of the, like, that the adult entertainment industry. So, like, he is in a position. He is basically just stripper Roger Thornhill and is in a position to, like, help solve the crime.
No, and I think that just, like, as a character, he needs to be someone that kind of people often confuse him for a real cop, and he uses that to his advantage. Like, you know, like the person at Starbucks wants to give him a free donut.
Like Andy from Parks and Rec and be just kind of a goofball.
See, I never warmed up to Andy, so I tend to not want people to be like Andy.
Do you hate dogs and chocolate and other sweet things? I'm sorry.
I mean, it depends on the chocolate and like...
I know, dark like chocolate's all, the better
all
chocolate.
Dog, all dogs are good dogs, but...
Wait, we are what's off the end of that sentence?
Sarah, you were saying. Tell me more, Sarah.
We're going to talk after this is done.
We'll dig into this. Don't worry. I haven't forgotten. But we only have... How many minutes do we have?
Oh, don't you worry. Don't you worry about that. You have a plentiful minute 30 to...
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, so...
So our
clearly,
stripper.
So yeah, male stripper. And I kind of think, I think you know, in a certain way, doesn't take things super seriously. Is kind of, you know, in that category of hot, where just like good things and free things come his way, and he doesn't question them, and so is put in a dangerous situation and has to think about other people for the first time in his life potentially. Maybe a friend of his who is also a stripper, or also, you know, like works at the strip club, is in danger or something. Mm-hmm. He happens to be in the wrong place, wrong time. He gets picked up by this grizzled cop. Let's just cast Nick Offerman, because why think about
nice.
These things?
Nice. Yes.
And the two of them buddy cop their way through a conspiracy to sort of monopolize the adult entertainment industry in a particular town is what I've got for you.
So basically, it's Training Day, but
with
the
male
comedy
strippers.
Version where Ethan Hawke is, instead of being like a rookie cop, is just kind of like a stripper that got swept up in this.
Yes.
Cool.
Everything would be better.
Can it be directed by Lord and Miller?
Yes, obviously.
Sold, and that is time.
Oh my
I would love
God.
To see them direct more things, honestly.
It's after the minute. Jump Street movies, I think that they need to get more. I think they need to get more comedies.
I think another, another cop comedy, maybe not for them. They should do other things. But Taika hasn't made a cop comedy yet, so
that's true. Mm. Call us, Taika.
Licensed to dance. No. Sex Force. No.
Prepare to be searched.
Ooh. We're going to keep workshopping these. Yeah. And we'll be right back once we've found something that feels right.
Hello, dear listener, Zach Valenti diving in with a quick message to please check out our Patreon page and consider signing up for a monthly contribution to keep our lights on over here at No Bad Ideas HQ. Head on over to www.nobadideaspodcast.com/support to check out all of the rewards that you can get in exchange for your financial support of the show. Once more, that's www.nobadideaspodcast.com/support. Shout out to all you fine folks that already support us. And if you're not in a position to do so right now, we love you all the same. All right, that's it for now. Let's get back to No Bad Ideas. Welcome back, everybody, for your second serving of Bad Ideas.
And you're the chef du jour for this one, right, Zach?
Oh, am I ever, Gabrielle.
Oh, boy.
I am delighted to introduce to the family that starts with Florida Man. Mm-hmm. And and meet you and raise you, to mix this metaphor with a card game of Canadian boy.
Oh no.
Are they also, aren't they also all good boys?
I haven't met enough of them to know for sure, but I give them the benefit of the doubt.
But when they go wrong, they go
things
wrong.
Just break bad.
Oh no,
that's right.
This kid had wrong done unto him.
Oh no.
Because Canadian Boy 8 from Fox News, link in the description, wins $200 worth of cannabis products at a youth hockey tournament.
Guys.
That was exactly my reaction.
Guys.
That's.
Oh, no.
What? What are we doing?
What are we doing?
Canada. Oh, Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Why do you drug your kid? No. A grandfather in Canada says he was outraged after finding out what his 8-year-old grandson had won in a raffle at a youth hockey tournament. About $200 worth of marijuana products. Keith Rettle of British Columbia told Toronto's...
Sell that shit and buy yourself a Switch!
Keith Rettle of British Columbia told Toronto's CTV News that his grandson, who plays in a youth hockey league, had entered raffle tickets to win a prize. Photo of weed. Each team is usually responsible for putting a gift basket or prize package together with a minimum value of $50, Rettle told the station. And then what they do is have this big setup, and they have a paper bag taped in front of each of the prizes. The prizes, Rettle said, are usually geared towards children. Rettle's grandson had
Which
put in his tickets.
Which makes sense for a youth league.
Right. Rettle's grandson had put in his tickets in a particular bag. His family was later notified that he had won $200 worth of pot, Red said. A picture taken of the child's father shows various cannabis paraphernalia, including edibles, a lighter, and smoking paraphernalia. Oh,
wow.
And a smoking apparatus. My grandson thought he'd won a great prize, Rettle said.
Dad, I won chocolate!
No, son! There's bad drugs in the chocolate! How do you explain that to a kid? Dawson Creek Minor Hockey Association issued a statement explaining the prize was meant for adults and never where the children were. Hilarious.
It's called the Dawson's Creek Youth Hockey League?
What is happening? The Dawson Creek Minor Hockey Association.
Oh my gosh.
Spit off.
The products did not appear on the donation table, only a photo and list of the items contained in the basket, the statement said, adding that the raffle winner had been given the option not to accept the prize. Rettle, a policeman for 32 years, called the situation, quote, ridiculous. Quote, there's no place for drugs at a child's hockey tournament, he said. Nobody disagreeing. The association said, unless you have some sort of epilepsy disorder and CBD or THC has any effect. I don't know the science. Doctors, you be responsible for that. And
I think we can all get behind the
giveaways.
Idea of an 8-year-old should not be getting recreational.
That is the bad idea. Du jour. The association said it is updating its policies to ensure that, quote, going forward, our charitable events are keeping with our policies and government policies.
Good.
Oh, man.
By which you mean the law.
Yeah.
And with that, lady and gentlemen, 5 minutes on the clock.
Okay, so Sarah.
Yes.
We were talking earlier about when Canadian boys go bad.
Mm-hmm.
They
have universal health care there, Gabrielle. You can't do the story that way.
I'm just saying.
The 8-year-old gets his hand on the drugs and then makes a killing in the high school selling them at a markup.
No one suspects. He's so innocent.
Look, I have not seen Breaking Bad. The extent of what I know about the show is that it involves someone called Walter White, who has something to do with a Shelley poem. and there's a very famous fly at a certain point. Also, drugs may or may not be involved. Finn, this is what I know about Breaking Bad. So I don't see why you cannot just like do a remake with a little Canadian 8-year-old. I'm sure we can plug in those gaps somehow.
LOL.
If we can involve a fly in this story, I will buy you a soda when this is all over. Gosh, I'm tempted to be like, the first thing that occurs to me is someone is trying to move some other kind of contraband. But because recreational marijuana is legal in Canada, I believe, they hide it in that. And somehow this 8-year-old gets a hold of it. And it's this sort of like wild goose chase relay race to try and track down the basket of weed.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. For the stolen uranium or whatever the hell's
right,
in there.
For the like the gold bullion that is inlaid right. into the bomb.
The Fabergé egg in right. the middle of the quarter pound.
Which is hidden among edibles that are made to look like, no. But I am open to other ideas for this.
No, I think that like that is kind of like the way that you make it wholesome is, you know, there's something actually valuable hidden in here. And maybe aside from like the actual valuable thing, there's something that like the kid wants.
Right.
That is just like the kind of thing that a kid would want. There's like, you know, maybe he's like really into space and it has like, you know, something that was signed by an astronaut that is his favorite astronaut.
Right.
And so he wants that.
Chris Hadfield, kind of, Canadian.
Right. Yeah. There you go. Boom. Like this, like gift basket ends up with all these things. And there's all of these people that want it for the other stuff. But he just wants like the sentimental value of the thing that is for him.
Right. And I think the maybe tone is sort of like Home Alone-y. Where it's a bunch of sort of cartoonish adult thugs who are trying to steal this stuff from the kid. But the kid and his hockey friends are like so clever and resourceful that they foil them at every turn. And obviously the climax will involve a Zamboni. I'm so sorry, Canada, but that's what's going to be.
I like that.
90-second warning.
Oh, great.
So who are the bad guys? Like, they're cartoony, but like, you know, like, are they kind of like the local kind of like burnout? Are they like, you know?
No, I think they have to be sort of like a higher tier mafia types.
Okay. KGB.
Like, there's like.
Sure, why not?
Boris and Natasha.
Well, but then I would sort of say like they should kind of be like what Jesse and James are to the Team Rocket hierarchy.
Right.
Like,
they're, you know, low, like maybe they're low down.
And also, yeah, kind of like the fuck up department. And like they really, really need to like prove to the boss that they can, you know, bring this in, because otherwise he's going to send them off to insert destination where they don't want to go.
Right. I'm thinking the sort of like My Spy level of like, which I think that's the tone of that is that Batista is like a CIA agent who's too aggressive, and so he gets like detailed to watch this kid because it's a fuck up assignment, but it ends up being they end up saving things. I like that. What's in the basket?
Which part of it? The like for the kid or for like the other people?
For the other people.
Launch
codes? Like
no.
Bullion?
No, I think that it's like bullion, Fabergé egg, kind of just like arbitrarily wealthy thing, as opposed to kind of like the new nerve gas that is going to sell really well in the like Chinese weapons market or whatever.
Gotcha.
And that's time.
Yeah. All right.
Wow.
My God, Dawson's Creek, how much you've changed since, you know, the halcyon days when we all tuned in to watch you.
Normally, I'm not a big proponent of like reality as a simulation kind of a thing, but you hear stories like this and it's just like this is just the game breaking a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that it was intentional for the adults is like, I don't know if that makes it better or worse in some way, you know, because
also it, just like, can I have a TV show of the hockey dads who are like putting weeds in baskets for each other?
Right.
Incredibly wholesome and very weird.
Yeah, that's like an episode of You're the Worst where they like end up at like someone's like peewee hockey league.
Right.
And in order to kind of like spice things up, they end up like sneaking these things in there.
Right. The secret is that every adult,
all the
there
parents
is high.
Are just high as fuck.
Yep. Jesus that Christ. Makes sense. Well, Zach, you said that it was a bad idea. You delivered.
Oh, yeah.
Wowzers.
If only, like, let us pray that the paths of Florida Man and Canada Boy never cross, because the results would be absolutely terrifying.
The difference between Florida Man and Canada Man is that Canada Man puts a photo of the drugs on the table.
Uh-huh.
Florida Man puts the means to make the drugs on the table.
That's right. That's what Florida Man brings to the table, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Neither can live while the other survives.
Well, we're going to go ahead and clear all the tables for this week. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Stay safe. Be well. We wish you and all your loved ones the best in this strange time. Wash your hands.
Good.
Don't touch your face. You know, you can make masks out of paper towels. They'll do something at least to help prevent the spread and make sure you don't touch your face. And it's a fun arts and crafts project too. See you on Thursday with more No Bad Ideas. This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist member, Rena Sarame. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.